This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
They always say you want to be playing your best basketball, or your best in general, kind of down the stretch, as the UNC Bears are approaching the Big Sky Conference Tournament. Four more regular season games to go, but this Bears team, they won their last three games, Weber State, Portland State, and Sacramento State. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley. Coach, man, nice run here in this this last stretch. A few games remaining, but the last three games, I mean, stemming from Monday's excitement and then leading into the weekend, taking care of Sacramento State. Well done by you guys.
Nah, I appreciate it, Brady. It's always good to hear from you. And yeah, it was a great week for the guys. I mean, it's you know, the Weber State game was so quick after a really bad game at Montana State. And for our guys to really turn it around and play well against Weber State was really encouraging. But then it's like, okay, you know, can we not be a one hit wonder? You know, I played the old "I Wish" song by Ski-Lo, the day before, Portland State. And I said, close your eyes, guys, listen to this song. And they all, oh yeah, yeah. So who was the guy that sung it? They're like, I have no idea. His name's Ski-Lo. He was a one-hit wonder, and we're not going to be a one-hit wonder after Weber State. And they understood the point, and I thought we played great against Portland State, and then same thing against Sacramento State, you know, in so many, you know, phases. So as we move forward here, 2 weeks left, four games left, hopefully we are playing our best basketball season. That is the goal.
Well, I love that, too, that visual, you know, get them thinking about that with that tune.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was that just a song that was kind of sticking in your head, Coach, and you're like, I got to use this?
My mind goes to weird places sometimes, and, you know, that it just seemed to be the right thing. So seeing one-hit wonders, and, you know, there's a lot of other things I could have probably put on there, but just Ski-Lo came to mind at that point in time.
Well, something's working because these last three wins have been very, very nice. And again, Weber State, that was intense. The way you guys came out offensively and defensively, and then Portland State. All these games kind of had different character to them. And in that Portland State game, you kept seeing Portland State making runs, but you guys kept weathering the storm. So that was kind of an interesting game there.
Yeah, no, such a talented team and such a deep team. And Cameron Parker for Portland State, their point guard, is playing as good as really anybody in the league. He was the player of the week going into the week. And he had 30-some against us. And honestly, like the last two or three minutes, we just tried to completely deny the ball and take him out of the game. And Caleb Shaw, the freshman, did a good job, you know, in about the last minute, a couple possessions in a row of getting him out of the game because he's playing so good. But, no, that's a really good team. You know, it's a team that swept Oregon State earlier this year. Like, teams in our league don't sweep Pac-12 teams, and they did it. And so, you know, it's just another – just a totally contrasting style, too. They play fast. They play a little crazy. And so I was really happy that our guys were able to handle that.
Well, and then on the other end, over the weekend, taking care of Sacramento State, and you guys had the lead at halftime. You maintained that lead throughout and end up winning 70-54. Another good defensive effort for you guys.
Another great effort on that D end, and you know, that's a totally different team. They play a lot slower. They're big. They're one of the better rebounding teams in the league. Their big guy, Callum McCray, he's an awesome player. He's really good, and it takes a multiple effort from your team to try to neutralize him. But by the time we got to that Sacramento State game, kind of that edge, that winning taste, that confidence, you could see it in the guys. And they played really, really loose and free and got out there and got it done. So, you know, now it's like, how do you bottle that up and keep it going? But I do think our guys are in a really good place right now.
Coach, what has it been these last three games? I mean, you're seeing a little bit of everything. You're seeing your star players step up. You're seeing some of the supporting cast players, the young players, as you mentioned, with Caleb Shaw step up. What has it been these last three games? Because these last three games, I think a lot of people that follow your program closely said, that kind of feels like that team we thought it was going to be all season was what we're seeing these last three.
Well, hopefully, you know, regardless of record, you know, and our record's not what we thought it was going to be, but regardless of that, we knew we were going to have some growing pains this year. We knew that, you know, first of all, you know, you lose three guys that are going to be, you know, legitimate pros in Bodie, Drew, and Coor. You lose that, it takes time to kind of fill that in. And then you got, you know, guys that are now asked to do more. You got guys that have played very minimal roles in the past that are now big roles. You got new guys that are fresh and that don't know what they're doing. And I just feel like this last week, for whatever reason, and I don't think it's any great motivational speech by me or anything. I just think that for whatever reason, it just started clicking a little bit. And now our young guys are playing better. You look at how good, like, a, you know, kind of a middle-aged guy like a Theo Hughes is playing now. You know, his last two games, he went 8-for-8 from the field. And he's always going to bring some toughness and physicality, but he's finishing now. And then you look at, you know, Dalton's always playing well, but then now Matt and Dalen are playing well too. And yeah, when they're all playing good, we're really good. And it just hasn't quite meshed together all the way yet. But boy, these last three games, it certainly looks the right way.
And isn't that to be kind of expected? You know, again, I know the Big Sky Conference standings were really high. There was a few fans that were really high on you guys, and rightfully so, with great players coming back. Yep. But you and I talked about this, I think, both on and off the airs. I mean, there's a lot of freshmen. You're going to be leaning on a lot of freshmen, a lot of younger guys, and kind of see how Riley Abercrombie works into the mix, too. How does all that come together? And sometimes that can take 50, 60% of the season before it really starts to click. That's just the truth of it. We see it all over the country every single year.
Exactly. And really, yeah, we had some talented players come back, but we really only had three guys that played real minutes coming back, too. And so you have three of your 8 to 9 spots that are, you know, solidified. That's, you know, 2/3 of your team you got to figure out. And so I think that's been part of it. But, yeah, I feel like these last three games, and it's really started on that defensive end, but when we're playing well and playing the way that we think we can play, it really is starting to look good.
Well, coming up next for you guys, two road battles, Idaho and Eastern Washington. You guys beat Idaho last time around, but what we've learned, even because you can just go, you can go to ESPN, you can go to standings or whatever, and you can look at records, but I've seen Idaho go toe-to-toe with pretty much everybody in the conference, too. I mean, anybody at any point, it does feel like can pull off something crazy. So those records, as you know, Coach, more than anybody, you can't just look at those records.
No, they're really good. They really had Eastern Washington beat, who's undefeated, has the longest winning streak in the country. They had them beat in their last game and just fell apart at the end. But no, I think, you know, they beat Montana State. They've done a lot of good things. So, you know, before we even get to the EWASH game, all focus on Idaho. They have the second and third leading scorers in the league with Jones and Moffitt. So they have, you know, big time star power. And yeah, they're going to be a huge challenge, but. You know, I think our guys with our confidence, you know, we're looking to have a couple great practices and, you know, get on that plane and get out there and go. But it's going to be a huge game because we have now, with these three wins in a row, we have kind of moved back up in the standings to where we can compete to try to get up into that top six realm. But we got to win a few more games for sure. So this Idaho game is a huge one.
Yeah, and looking at the standings, too, Idaho State sitting at that fifth spot right now, and you guys are a game and a half behind them, a half a game behind Sacramento State, and you still have Idaho State coming up at the end. That's your final game of the season.
Yep.
So that, who knows what that game could mean on February 27th.
You're right. And I think if you look at the standings, you know, we try to focus one game at a time, but, you know, I would be lying if I said I don't ever look at the standings and do the math on it. I'm just too much of a fan to do that. So, you know, I think the way it's kind of worked out that, you know, the top four have started to separate themselves now that Montana got it on a little bit of a surge. And just the way the records are, you know, you got four teams that have winning records, and then everyone else is just lumped up. I think we could finish anywhere from 5 to 10. And so, yeah, I mean, what you're trying to do, I think the goal of getting that top six seed, which 5 is great as well, you're trying to stay out of that 7 through 10 where you got to play an extra game. It wouldn't be the end of the world, especially – let's just say we finished 7th, but we won, you know, our last 7 games. I would feel good about it no matter who we play. But just from a, you know, gas in the tank type of perspective, it's a lot easier to win 3 games than it is to win 4. So you're trying to get that top 6 seed, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, how much of that is a real thing, Coach? I mean, you know, I sit in here and I talk about momentum and, oh, winning your last few games, that can really carry over. You hear it in football, you hear it in the NFL and the playoffs, all that stuff. How real is that right now? Because there certainly seems to be some kind of momentum going on, something great going on with you guys right now.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, you get to that next game and you see, right? Like, you never know. But I do think that, you know, when you can get on kind of a run and we've been on those runs before where you just start to feel really confident. You can make some special things happen. So, you know, again, it's just one game at a time. But when you start to, you know, like we told the guys, you start to taste winning and what it tastes like, you want that taste. And our guys, they're getting pretty excited. There's a new juice. There's a new energy amongst our team. And, you just don't want to lose that. So I feel good about it. But, you know, we'll see how it goes for sure.
Well, the two remaining home games, I just want to let our listeners know.
Yeah.
Northern Arizona, February 25th. Idaho State, February 27th. Awesome opportunities. And, you know, I know the student section's getting excited. People are starting to get excited. I love the specials and the deal, the pizza, all that stuff. You guys are certainly engaging this fan base.
Anything we can do to figure it out is good. And, I do think, you know, going back to that student section, it's Weber State, and then, you know, obviously getting back to some normal times against Portland State and Sac State, our crowds have been really good. And I know our guys feed off that energy. You got two chances left. The NAU game a week from Saturday is an earlier game, 1 p.m. tip. And then that last game on Monday night, I think the 27th against Idaho State, that is senior night. And we're excited to celebrate those guys one more time. So, two more great opportunities to get out here and see if we can't really kind of, you know, propel ourselves into the tournament in Boise.
I always love the tournament. I mean, I love basketball any day. The regular season's great, but the tournament, it's exciting. We get into that mode. We get into March Madness and all that. I mean, it's just a fun time of year.
Yes, for sure. It really is. So we are pretty much there now, so a couple more weeks and then it's a one-game season, baby.
Coach, last one for you. Just an overall college basketball. I don't know if you saw the story going on with New Mexico State by chance.
Yeah.
Just absolutely wild to me. I mean, just terrible, terrible stuff in this report. And, again, my mind goes to – obviously, this is just bad, but you know, the coaching staff, they're going to put the rest of the coaching staff on leave for the year. I don't know what they're going to end up doing with this group going forward, but how hard is that? You know, you as a coach, where you want to be sure that you're kind of managing a little bit of everything, always kind of knowing what your players are doing, when they're doing it, what they're up to. Obviously, this, we've never seen anything quite like this, but that's something you have to be thinking about, too, is, you know, I know what I can see with my players and stuff, but I'm always wondering and what they're up to when I'm not there, when I'm not leading this group. And obviously something's going on there in New Mexico State.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty tough report. You know, who knows? But it's certainly that, you know, the head coach, you've got, you know, let's just say 2 hours a day when you're with your team, give or take, right? And then the other 22 hours you're not. I think, one, hopefully you've got the right type of kids in your program
right,
so that you can sleep good at night. And I feel like here, I feel like we have that to the highest level, kids that do a good job in the classroom, good kids, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you certainly do worry about that and wonder about, you know, just in terms of like, what are these guys doing at all times? And so I think having a relationship with them, being connected to them. But yeah, I mean, you know, that report was really, really, really tough to look at and tough to read. And certainly you, as a coach, you never want to have that type of situation happen. But that was a tough one, man, for sure. No doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, there's just so many moving parts, so many things to pay attention to. But like you said, if you do your due diligence and work hard to make sure you're getting those high character guys, those guys that aren't, you don't even have to think twice about any nonsense going on. I mean, it makes your job a little bit easier, at least.
For sure. And you know, like they say, like, if people ask you, like, how much of your day goes into coaching, you know, in the perception of like, X's and O's and 10% maybe. I mean, that's people think coaching, you show up and you plan a practice out, you go coach, cut a little film, and you know, and rest of the day's off. Like, college coaching is so much more than that. But so much more of our day is just, you know, just X's and O's and this and that. I mean, you talk about recruiting, fundraising, you talk about this type of stuff right here, just in terms of, you know, being connected to your players. There's so much that goes into it, but at all hours of the day, there's something you could be working on for sure.
And I know that personally with you, Coach. I mean, like you said, recruiting, re-recruiting, coming up with the game plans, your coaching staff doing that, and then marketing your program. I mean, those are all those things that you're doing, and I know you do that extremely well. So, man, we just love what you guys are doing. Love this win streak. Let's see if we can keep that thing going. I know some tough battles coming up on the road, but it's been fun. These last three games, Coach, especially, have been really fun, really a joy for us.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, and that's the goal, just keep it rolling one game at a time. And I really like where our guys are at right now. We just got to keep it pushing.
All right, Coach. Hey, real quick, too.
Yeah.
Angel and I were talking about, my producer and I think I told you last year, I'm terrible at golf. I'm embarrassingly bad. This offseason, we're going to get out there. We have a goal. We're going to try to beat our guy, Tanner Schwint, somehow. I may be calling on you for some pointers and some tips.
Well, I'm bad, too. Just full clarity, I'm bad, too. But yeah. Call me. We'll go play, have some fun or something.
Yeah, I doubt you're that. But see, like, I'm bad, but really bad, like embarrassingly bad. You know, you're the kind of guy that will say, hey, let's go out on the golf course and grab a meeting. I'm the opposite. I'm like, let's stay away from there because I don't want you to see how bad I am, because I think it's going to hurt your opinion of me.
Sure, for sure.
All right, Coach, appreciate you, man, and good luck coming up later on this week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Brady. Thanks,
right,
man.
Steve Smiley, UNC men's basketball coach. Yeah, see, Angel, there are people that say I'm bad at golf. Tanner will say in a first meeting with someone that he's bad at golf. He'll say that just to be nice. But then there's people like you and I where it's like, no. We are actually bad at golf. Like, bad.
Yeah, like the, hey, pull the cart over 20 feet or so because I'm going to hit it over there.
Yeah.
It's going to take us 20 minutes to get to the green. We'll get there. Yeah. The ball will go in the hole.
Somehow.
It's just not going to be on time.
It's not like a traditional journey that this ball's going on.
Well, you know, I'm paying for the course. I want to see the whole course.
I want to see everything. All the weeds, all the water, everything. I want to see it. Yeah, I want to experience it. Yes, exactly. It's the same thing with dancing. People will say, I'm terrible at dancing. You just got to have fun. But dancing and golf, they go hand in hand with me. I'm awkwardly, embarrassingly bad, uncomfortably bad at dancing.
Well, dancing requires rhythm and timing.
Don't have it. Not when it comes to that stuff. Other sports, basketball, that kind of, I was decent at that stuff. But I don't know what it is. Golf and dancing are about the same thing to me. 36 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.